everyone, and welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at learning, you know, how we learn, but maybe turning things upside down a little bit. Like, what if you didn't have to start from scratch? You know, just soaking up information before you can really get involved.
Yeah, that's a question a lot of people have.
Yeah.
And hopefully today's deep dive will give us some answers.
Right. We're looking at an article called ICAAP. It's by Gary Ackerman, and it's from the hackscience.education blog. Sounds kind of cryptic, right? Like a secret code?
It does. But it's an acronym that breaks down different types of learning, and it even ranks them from most to least effective.
Okay, I'm intrigued. So what does ICAAP actually stand for?
It stands for interactive, constructive, active, and passive. And the greater than signs show you it's not just a list. It's showing how effective each type of learning is.
Gotcha. So interactive is at the top and passive is at the bottom. Okay, that makes sense. But what do these terms actually mean in practice? Like, what's the difference between active and constructive?
Well, let's say you're learning guitar. Watching videos without even picking up a guitar, that would be passive. Active would be watching those videos and trying to follow along, you know, trying out the chords and everything.
Yeah, okay. So actually doing the thing instead of just watching. Makes sense.
Yeah.
What about constructive learning? What would that look like?
So for that, you'd start experimenting. You know, you've got the basics from the videos, and now you're trying to come up with your own strumming pattern. Or maybe figuring out a song by ear.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. So then the top level, interactive, would be like joining a band or just jamming with friends.
Exactly. You're getting feedback, you know, learning from each other's playing, maybe even writing songs together. That kind of back and forth takes learning to a whole other level.
Yeah, this is really starting to click for me. But why should our listeners care about this ICAAP thing? I mean, it's cool, but how does it actually help them learn anything?
Well, the great thing about ICAAP and what Ackerman really emphasizes is that it's not just some theory, right? It's a tool you can actually use. So you can learn more effectively, whether you're prepping for a presentation, learning some new software, or, yeah, even learning to play guitar.
I think I see what you mean. So instead of just listening to this and nodding along, our listeners could be thinking how to apply this to their own lives.
Exactly. And here's the really interesting part. The article makes it clear. You don't have to start with passive learning and work your way up. You can jump right into interactive learning.
Hold on, seriously. You're saying I can just jump right into a new subject, even if I know nothing about it?
That's exactly what he's saying. We tend to think we need to, like, absorb a ton of information before we can actually do anything with it. But this model says, no, you can jump right in.
Wow, that's pretty cool. It's like you're saying it's okay to learn by doing, even if you don't feel ready.
You got it. It's about being an active learner, even if you're a total beginner. But let's not get too ahead of ourselves. Learning guitar is one thing.
Yeah.
How does ICAAP apply to, you know, everyday stuff like getting ready for a meeting at work or reading an article for your job?
Right. Good point. I think we need to, like, bring this down to earth a bit.
Yeah, totally. First, let's look at the difference between active and constructive learning. They can be kind of tricky. Imagine you're reading an article for work, just highlighting things as you go. That's active learning.
Yeah.
You're engaging with it, but not really creating anything new.
Okay, I get that. So what would constructive learning look like?
So you're still taking notes on that article.
Yeah.
But you're not just summarizing, right? You're connecting it to your own work, maybe coming up with questions, even brainstorming ways to use those ideas.
Okay. So it's about how deeply you're thinking about it, right? Not just taking it in, but working with it, making connections, building something new.
Exactly. It's like memorizing a recipe versus coming up with your own dish. Both involve the recipe, but the outcome is totally different.
That's a great analogy. It really shows the difference. Now, how about constructive versus interactive? Where's the line there?
Okay, so let's say you're trying to solve a problem at work. If you're working on it alone, that's constructive. But if you take those ideas to your team and you brainstorm together, bounce ideas off each other, that's interactive.
Oh, so the difference is working together, that back and forth. You're taking your ideas and putting them out there with other people.
You got it. And even something like a workshop can be interactive, as long as you're participating, asking questions, talking to the presenter and other people there. It's not about the format. It's about how you're participating.
So even introverts like me can be interactive learners.
Yeah.
It's not about being the loudest person there. It's about actively engaging in the learning process. It's empowering.
Exactly. It's about finding those opportunities to connect, collaborate, and push your thinking further.
This has been amazing. I'm already rethinking how I approach learning. But how can our listeners put this theory into action? What are some things they can do to make their learning more effective?
Well, first, be aware. Think about your own learning habits. Where do you naturally fall in that ICP spectrum?
Right, like taking stock before you start. Once you know your tendencies, you can start pushing yourself toward more interactive and constructive experiences.
You got it. It's about being more intentional, recognizing opportunities, and making choices about how you engage.
Okay, so say someone's like me, a total bookworm. They naturally gravitate toward reading, which is kind of solitary. How can they make that more interactive?
Oh, tons of ways. Join a book club, start an online group, or even just grab a friend who's reading the same book and chat about it. The point is to connect with others who are interested in the same things and have conversations about what you're learning.
So even introverts can be interactive learners. It's not about being the loudest person in the room, but finding ways to participate and contribute to the learning process. That's really cool.
Absolutely. And you can start small. You don't have to change everything overnight. Just pick one area where you want to be more intentional, experiment, and see what works for you.
Small steps, big impact. Love it.
Exactly. Remember, there's no one right way to learn. The key is to keep learning, keep growing, and keep exploring different approaches.
This has been so thought-provoking. I feel like I have a whole new set of tools for learning for myself and for anyone I'm teaching.
I'm so glad to hear that.
But before we get carried away, let's pause here. Give our listeners a chance to digest all this amazing information. We'll be back soon with more insights and practical advice on how to use the power of ICAP.
Okay, so we're back and ready to dive deeper into ICAP. Before the break, we were talking about how to really put this concept into action. You know, make it something you use, not just something you know about.
Right. And it's worth mentioning that ICAP isn't just for, you know, individuals. It's great for anyone who designs learning experiences, like teachers, trainers, even someone putting together a presentation for their team.
I hadn't thought of that. So instead of just giving information, I could use ICAP to make my presentations more engaging, more effective. Yeah, exactly. Think about ways to build in those higher levels of learning, interactive and constructive, right? Maybe a Q&A or a group activity where people actually use the information, or even a challenge that gets them thinking critically about the topic.
Okay, I'm seeing the possibilities here. So instead of just showing my team, you know, the latest sales figures, I could challenge them to come up with ways to improve them.
There you go. And when you design the learning experiences with ICAP in mind, you're not just making things more fun. You're actually boosting understanding and retention.
So everyone wins. Now, I'm curious about something the article mentioned. Ackerman says learners can jump into interactive learning even if they don't have any experience in a field. How does that work? Seems like you'd need some basic knowledge first.
I know, it sounds counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
But think about it. Even if you're brand new to a subject, you still bring your own perspective, your own life experience, and that can be really valuable in an interactive setting.
So it's not about being an expert. It's about bringing your curiosity and your willingness to learn, even if you don't have all the answers.
Yeah, exactly. And in an interactive setting, nobody expects you to have all the answers. It's about asking questions, sharing what you think, and learning from other people who might have more expertise.
I get it. It's not about being the smartest person. It's about actively participating, no matter how much you know.
Right. In brainstorming sessions, sometimes the most innovative ideas come from people who are new to the field. They bring a fresh perspective.
That's a great point. Sometimes not knowing everything can be an advantage. So for our listeners who are ready to embrace ICP, what are some tips for, you know, finding opportunities for interactive learning, in their daily lives?
Well, first tip, be curious. Don't just sit back and take in information, ask questions, challenge things, and look for different points of view. It's like being that five-year-old who always asks why.
Love that. It's about bringing that curiosity to everything you learn.
Right. And don't avoid conversations with people who disagree with you. Those can be some of the best learning experiences.
Oh, I know what you mean. It's when you have to really think critically, defend your own views, or even be open to changing your mind.
That's it. Even if you don't end up changing your mind, you get a deeper understanding of the issue. You see where the other person's coming from.
That's so important, especially these days when there's so much information coming at us. We need to be able to think for ourselves.
Absolutely. Another way to use interactive learning is to collaborate. Join a study group, volunteer for a project that pushes you, or find a mentor.
Find your people, you know, people who also love to learn and grow. Learning doesn't have to be lonely. It's often more fun and more effective when you learn together.
I completely agree. Learning is social. you know, at its heart.
This is all so inspiring. I feel like I have a whole new toolbox for learning, not just for me, but for anyone I'm teaching too.
That's awesome to hear. And remember, ICKEY is a framework, not a set of rules. Find what works best for you.
So experiment, explore, and keep diving deep into those learning experiences.
Yes, that's the spirit.
Okay, we've covered a lot today. We decoded ISIC, talked about why it's important, and even brainstormed some ways to use it. But before we wrap up, I want to make sure this sticks. You know, go beyond understanding the concept and actually use it to learn more effectively.
Yeah, we need to make this actionable, right? Knowing about ISIC is one thing, but putting it into practice is what matters.
Exactly. So how can our listeners know if they're using the right learning approach? Say they're picking between two online courses or deciding whether to go to a workshop or just read a book. How can ISAC help them decide?
That's a good question. When you're looking at a learning opportunity, think about this. Where does it fall on that ISAC spectrum? Is it mostly just taking in information? Or does it involve interaction, construction, putting things into practice?
So look for keywords, right? Like discussion, collaboration, hands-on activities, problem solving, that kind of thing.
That's it. And don't be shy about contacting the organizers or instructors. Ask them about their approach. Do they encourage people to participate? Do they give feedback and opportunities to collaborate? The more you know about how it's designed, the better you can choose the experiences that fit your goals and how you learn best.
It's like being a smart shopper, but for learning instead of stuff. You're investing your time and energy, so you want to make sure you're getting the most out of it.
Perfect analogy.
Okay, let's bring this all together. What's the main thing our listeners should take away from this deep dive into ICAP?
I think the most important thing is that you have more control over your learning than you think. ICAP is a powerful way to understand how we learn and how to make it better. But it's not a rigid set of rules. You can adapt it to what you need and what you like.
So it's not about finding the one right way. It's about finding what works for you.
You got it. Experiment, see what works, and don't be afraid to try new things. The more you work with ICAP, the more you'll learn about yourself as a learner, and the better you'll become.
I'm so happy we did this deep dive. It's really changed how I think about learning. Before we go, I want to leave our listeners with something to think about. We talked about how you don't have to go through the learning types in order. So what's one area where you could jump right into interactive learning, even if you're a beginner? What's something you're curious about that you could explore with other people? Don't be afraid to just dive in.
That's a fantastic challenge. And remember, the great thing about interactive learning is that it's a journey you share with others. You never know what you'll discover along the way.
On that note, we'll leave you to ponder that question. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. Keep learning, keep exploring, and we'll catch you next time. And we're back for our final look at ICP. We've talked about the framework, why it matters, even how to use it. But I think to really make ICP work for us, we got to understand the why behind it all.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The why is super important. Knowing how to use it is one thing, but knowing why it works, that helps us use it better, more intentionally.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Why is interactive learning so much better than, like, passively reading a book or watching a lecture?
Well, a few things. One is accountability. When you're learning interactively, you're engaging with others,
yeah.
You know, sharing your thoughts, being part of the conversation. That makes you more responsible, more motivated.
Yeah, it's like you're not just learning for yourself anymore. You're learning for the group.
Exactly. And then there's the fact that you get different perspectives. When you're interacting, you hear all sorts of viewpoints and ideas. That can challenge your own assumptions and help you understand things better.
Oh, I've definitely experienced that. Sometimes, you know, a colleague will say something or a student will ask a question and it totally changes how I see things.
Right. Those aha moments often come from interaction, from bumping up against different viewpoints. And, you know, from a brain perspective, interactive learning makes you really work with the information. You have to make connections, explain your ideas. That helps you understand or remember things better.
It's like you're not just letting the information wash over you. You're really grappling with it, trying to figure it out.
Exactly. That's what really makes it stick. Of course, no learning model is perfect. ICP has its limits. You know, context is important.
Right. So interactive learning isn't always the best way, is it? Sometimes passive or active learning might be better.
Yeah, definitely. Like if you're learning something totally new, maybe you need a bit of basic knowledge before you jump into a group discussion, right? Or if you're pressed for time, maybe just reading a quick summary is better than organizing a whole meeting.
Makes sense. It's about picking the right tool for the job. Okay, so we've talked about the why behind ICP, and we've mentioned its limitations. Anything else our listeners should keep in mind as they start using this framework?
I think the most important thing is to be flexible, to experiment. Try different things. See what works best for you. And don't be afraid to change your approach as you go. Learning is, well, it's a process, right? What works in one situation might not work in another.
That's a really good point. We all learn differently.
Totally. And the more we understand how we learn, the better we can navigate the whole learning world.
Well said. This has been such a fascinating deep dive into ICCAP. I know I've learned a ton, and I hope our listeners have too.
It's been great exploring this with you.
Before we wrap up, I want to encourage everyone to actually use these ideas. Don't just let them sit there in your head. Go out and experiment with ICCAP. Make your learning more interactive, more constructive, more engaging, and most importantly, have fun.
Yes. Enjoy learning.
That's the best advice. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. Keep learning, keep growing, and we'll see you next time.